The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Priscilla Arena. Thanks for joining us today on A Woman's View. We will be bringing you a unique and fresh perspective on current events, business, politics, education, lifestyle from a woman's view. Joining us today is Esther Fortunoff, a Long Island business icon and philanthropist. Welcome, Esther.
Thank you.
I am super, super excited to have you here as one of our first guests, not only because I admire you, but I basically went into your store recently and pretty much took my tongue off the floor, salivating on all the fabulous things. I think a lot of people don't know that you've brought the jewelry back to the island, and I was super excited, and of course I shared that information with my husband immediately.
Yes, well, we enjoy having customers come back who haven't seen us in a long time and getting to look at all the gorgeous new pieces, and we greet them like old friends.
Well, it's funny to me, and it really struck me, that you had a lot of the same staff come back, which is really a testimonial to the kind of woman you want to work for, quite frankly. And one of the unique things when I came into your store is the fact that the gemologist and the saleswoman, including and yourself, remembered my engagement ring, which my husband purchased from Fortunoff more than 15 years ago. And the funny story behind that is that it's a small natural canary diamond, but in those days, they were sort of looking at my husband saying, you know, hey, kid, because he was driving a delivery truck at the time, and they kept blowing him off. And then finally he went into Fortunoff, and he told me within 10 minutes he found the ring. And so I was excited that you remembered the history and the design and all the things about the ring. But it also got me thinking that you must have some other unique stories of customers and patrons that have purchased jewelry from you before. You want to share one or two?
Sure. But the fact that I could remember that yellow diamond is just shows you how much energy we put into sourcing the right things for people, because we really do look at a lot of stones and designs before we choose what we put in the store. Almost every interaction is really fun, but just recently a young man came in thinking he wanted a particular shape of diamond, because that's what his girlfriend said she wanted, and she had shown him a picture. But I had just bought something fabulous that was really well priced, like the day before. So I just said, well, you know, I know you're not ready, you're not going to get engaged for another few months, and I know you don't want this shape, but let me just show you this ring. And he flipped and really loved it, and so he just came and picked it up. But I don't think he's popped the question yet, so I can't tell you who it is.
Uh-oh. I mean, when I also, the one thing is I think that if you're a woman over a certain age living on Long Island, anybody would remember the unbelievable catalog that used to get mailed to our homes. I got super excited when I found out that you were the one responsible for it. And I'm not kidding, and not because you and I are friends, but I tell you that the same time the Tiffany catalog used to come to my home, I would thumb through that catalog, honestly throw it in the garbage. I didn't think there was anything that unique and special, and quite frankly, I thought it was a little overpriced. But that Fortunoff catalog hung around, and I would show my husband the things that I would like, and even my daughter has some pieces from Fortunoff. But tell me about that catalog. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, putting together the catalog was really a labor of love, and I actually started doing it in the very early 80s. Like, it was my next job after helping on our Wayne, New Jersey store. I was a very visual person, and it was a way for me to really learn the jewelry business, because in our catalogs, you had a little bit of everything. It wasn't just only, you know, a few pieces, and it wasn't only high-end, because we wanted something to appeal to every age range and every price point. And so we would, I mean, it was a process where all the buyers would find what they felt were their favorite items, and we would put them down on this giant table, and start to make eliminations. And it was one of those really tense times where my mother was in charge of, you know, yes or no, the final veto power. Mm-hmm. But all the buyers had to make presentations, and we talked through it, and why is this good, and why is this better than something else? And it was actually a really interesting but very tense time. Till we picked the items. Then there was the whole process of how would we photograph it, what kind of backgrounds, and to put together something really unique that I was really proud of. I've recently gone back and looked. I have a customer who just came in. She had something from a catalog from 1985, and she wanted me to find that catalog so she could have the original picture. So I've been searching for it. I haven't found it yet, but I'm going to keep going because I know that the item was in a catalog and was really beautiful. But doing the artwork was really fun. I oversaw all the copy, like every description.
Wow.
My father wanted us to have really good descriptions, very accurate. We always tried to have the items in actual size, which is different than many
yes.
other jewelry stores.
I always remembered that. And yeah. I was like, wow, that diamond is really that big. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Actual size. And then there was, you know, the distribution of the book and then waiting, you know, the catalog is being mailed and waiting for the customers to come in and start to, you know, look at the items. So it was really a great process.
It's amazing. I mean, some of the things, by the way, that I remembered even back then in the catalog and just, again, seeing you face to face. I know you're a fan of pins, and I know that you really are inspired by nature, and I think that's very evident in your style and the things that you select. So I wanted you to sort of expand on that a little bit and your love with nature and how that ties into what you choose and your designs and so forth.
Sure. My father was part of the Nature Conservancy for many years, and he really got into it, just visited the Southwest, started to do some hiking. We all loved eventually to go hiking, although I have to say, you know, most Long Island girls aren't doing camping trips and hiking mm-hmm. all that often. Mm-mm. But I started to get into it and loved it, loved the serenity of being outside. After my father passed away, the Nature Conservancy invited me to be on their board, and I was just so inspired by everything that they do all over the world, but especially on Long Island, thinking about clean water mm-hmm. and the air and conserving land. And so I really volunteered a lot of time and actually got to do just, you know, in a rowboat, pulling invasive species out of...
I know most people who see you, because you are so incredibly put together, you have such a sense of style, that they wouldn't necessarily picture you in a pair of cargo shorts and you know, in the mud a little bit. But that's really who you are. And I think that's a testimonial to your diversity as a woman, you know, both in philanthropy and business.
Yes, and... I also did something interesting, a little different. I worked as an archaeologist.
Really?
In the Sinai Desert.
Wow.
After my college career, I was in the business, but then I thought, well, maybe I'm going to be a historian. Maybe I'm going to learn about ancient history. And so I did do that for a little while, and that really was in the dirt, but also really inspired me to look for ancient forms that are then used in jewelry. And so there are certain motifs that have just been, you know, for thousands of years that come into jewelry.
Not just the conservatory, but I know you have other philanthropic things that you do and causes that you support. Can you just highlight some of those things that are deeply, that you feel deeply about?
Sure. The SAFE Center mm-hmm. is the merger of the Long Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence, or the Nassau County Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and the Coalition Against Child Abuse and Neglect. And so they merged together mm-hmm. so that they can better serve their, you know, their clients. And they're a fantastic organization that helps The women and family through the legal issues. They will advocate and be at the hospital with a woman. They help the family if they need to go to a safe house or if it's more ongoing, meeting with therapists, meeting with other service providers. And what they do is really cool in that it's very seamless. So they actually have a precinct of the police at their facility so that they, the victim doesn't have to go from place to place.
That's excellent.
They have a medical section there, and it's really quite inspiring. And I've been off and on involved with them for like 20 years.
Wow. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and maybe give the audience a place to go to if they do need help. This is Priscilla Arena, and we're speaking with Esther Fortunoff on A Woman's View. Esther, before we were talking about your involvement with the Safe House. You must see some really horrific things, and I'm hoping that you're able to empower those women, obviously, you know, through example and through your help. So tell me a little bit about what it means to you and where someone can go if they feel like they are being abused.
Sure. The Safe Center in Bethpage provides so many different services, really, for women and children. But especially they have pro bono legal help, and it's very important. They help women with family court, orders of protection, and really walk them through whatever steps that they need and to give them the concrete help in order to make their lives changed and better and to move on. And the Safe Center is having a gala.
Awesome.
And Fortuna Fine Jewelry always is a sponsor. We are having some great items in their silent auction, but also we...
When is it, Esther?
It's on October 19th, Thursday night. And
where is it?
It's at the Garden City Hotel.
Okay.
And this year, they often have the victims or survivors, we call them, speak. And this year, my husband and his partner, who have... a documentary business, have filmed some of the survivors so that they can get more than just one person speaking. So in this case, it's four different people.
I would recommend tissues in the swag bags for this event, but no, I could only imagine. It's on the 19th?
Yes, and it's inspiring. It's very serious, and it's often sad, but it's inspiring. And the people... genuinely so appreciate the services of the Safe Center. It's really great to see.
Well, I would imagine this is also somewhat of a celebration also for those that are victorious in overcoming this terrible situation. So all of you out there, if you have a connection with this, please go visit the Safe Center in Bethpage. You can Google it, and they can certainly use all the help that they can get. Esther, some of the things I think would that our audience would find very unique and interesting, you know, the long history of Fortunoff and the name. I believe it started with your grandparents?
Yes.
Your grandparents, and it goes way back. I was trying to calculate if it happened prior to the Depression or not.
Oh, yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the history, and then take us through what it was like to be a Fortunoff little girl.
Okay. My grandparents started the business when they were both pretty young. They didn't want to work with their parents. They wanted to do something of their own. So 1922,
wow.
Brooklyn, basically a push cart in what kind of thing we would look at today as like a flea market type situation. And, you know, the Depression was in 1929, but because what they were selling was so basic, I mean, if you were setting up a household, you certainly needed pots and pans.
Right.
So they got through that, grew into having what would be called like a general store, things for the kitchen and, you know, bathrooms and just basics to set up a household. And then each of their three children took an area of concentration and expanded on that so that there was a separate store for home furnishings and a separate one for all different housewares, and then, you know, lamps and rugs and clocks. And my mother then married into the business, and she started the jewelry division.
So it was your mother that started it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she wanted to also make her own mark. And it's because it was in Brooklyn and they were all small storefronts, they couldn't always expand to the store next to them. So it ended up being like 11 small stores in a 3-block radius in East New York, Brooklyn.
Wow.
So you could look across the street and see the houseware store down the block. You saw the decorator store. So in order to hang out with my parents and also my grandparents, I had to be there. I mean, pretty much they were working 6 days a week, working really hard. So
those were the days where Sundays you actually had off.
They were, except that they didn't. They were actually open on Sunday.
Were they?
They were closed on Fridays. Interesting way of... they did have a day off, but it allowed people from all over the tri-state area to drive to that area and park there because it was easier to, you could park there in Brooklyn, and it became like this amazing hub, very, very crowded and lots of bargains all the time. In the mid-60s, their customers were starting to really move to the suburbs, move to Long Island and New Jersey and Westchester. They made the decision, all the family members, to put all their different departments and different stores under one roof in Westbury in 1964. Took a lot of work, but it became a huge success very quickly. The housewives of Long Island liked going there.
I know, and I did. I registered there when I got married.
Yeah, I mean, it was like one-stop shopping. And so now when I'm in my new store, people are always just giving me their memories of those times. But in 64, I was one of the new sales associates on the floor selling jewelry. And with my brothers and sisters and cousins, we all worked in the business. And I worked, you know, throughout high school. And,
you know, people see, this is the difference, I think, today. You know, I mean, clearly there was, I'll call it an empire, because it really was an empire. And the brand of Fortunoff just, you know, everybody instantly has this thought in their head of, quite frankly, elegance and luxury, but yet it's still attainable and affordable for most. You know, people don't today, I think the kids of today, they're not necessarily going to the office with their parents, you know, working with their parents. I think that that's a work ethic that was instilled in you, and your parents certainly could have afforded, with all due respect, to, you know, have you do something else, and they chose to have you close with them and teach you. And I think that's great.
Yeah, and it really was. And they tried to teach us not only how to work in a business, but life lessons. I mean, really, always life lessons.
My father has it saying, and I've been saying it a lot lately, and as you know, my father passed in May, but he had a saying when he would get a little upset with me. He said to me, "What you are about to learn, I already forgot." And I just got goosebumps. So, you know, obviously your parents must have taught you a tremendous amount about business in general and life.
Yeah, no, they did. But one of the things that my grandmother said that always stuck with me was, you know, really you have to be nice to everyone, because while you think you're going up in the world, you could be as easily coming down in the world, and everyone deserves to be treated well and nicely, and you never know what's going to happen. And she was so right. At the time she was, you know, telling me, I was probably 15 and thinking, well, you know, yeah, okay. But it turned out to actually be the case. And all of a sudden, which we can talk about later, you know, I found myself without a business.
Right.
Temporarily. And it was really just so humbling. But the other thing really that my father did, that which was amazing, is really wanted to promote from within. So we had employees who had come with us, certainly from Brooklyn, some of them, and a lot, you know, were from Long Island. And everyone ended up staying because we gave good benefits. We had a tuition reimbursement plan where you could actually go through college while you were working at Fortunoff. And everyone was valued, and there was a lot of...
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah. People need to feel valued, especially if you're an employer. I remember, you know, there were certain jobs I've had in my life where I didn't necessarily get paid the highest salary, but I felt really valued by the employer. So I gave them 110% and, you know, gave them everything I had. And it made for a very productive employee.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's true. And an interesting thing about ours, our business, was that we employed mostly women, which was not very common.
Not the thing in the 60s.
Right. And women, we felt, especially for jewelry, understood the product and would be the best people selling it. But we also pioneered like flex time, because we did have moms who needed to go home at a certain time. Sometimes people would work a split shift and go home, wow, make dinner for the kids, wait till their husband came home, and then come back to work. And also, we had a lot of flexibility with after maternity leave, coming back part-time. And those kinds of things just made the employees like working there. And therefore, we got the longevity and we got the expertise because they were there for life.
When we come back, we're going to talk to you a little bit more about the juggle of being a businesswoman and a mom and all the other hats that women wear. This is Priscilla Reiner, and we're speaking with Esther Fortunoff. We'll be right back on A Woman's View. Welcome back. This is Priscilla Reiner. You're listening to A Woman's View on Long Island News Radio 103.9. We're speaking with Esther Fortunoff from Fortunoff Fine Jewelry of Westbury. Esther, before the break, we were talking a little bit about your history growing up in the Fortunoff Empire and in the store and what it was like in the 60s being a woman and working with Fortunoff. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, working there from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and sort of what you saw on the evolution of Fortunoff.
Sure. I didn't really work much in the 60s since I was young. But
very young.
Very young. When I graduated from college, it was in the 70s and 80s, and there were a lot of women in the workforce, and all of us really had to try to be very good time managers, because not only were we trying to work probably harder than men and show that we understood what men could do.
I just want to stop you for a second. I'm so happy that you said that. I have a 12 and a half year old daughter, and I have been telling her for the longest time, I just need to tell you, you need to work harder and smarter than any man out there. I cannot give you a rhyme and reason why. Just heed my advice. So it's funny that you say that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no. Women have to prove themselves. I mean,
correct,
even though women, you know, are half the population, and certainly a lot of us are working these days, you do have to prove that you understand the way things are done in the world. But also, women are still largely responsible for getting the food on the table, yeah, and making sure that they take their kid to, you know, sports and go to the conferences and the plays and all of that. And so it really was great in our company because there were so many women. We understood that the women who became managers and executives could sort of craft and help the other women get through that. And of course, there were wonderful men who totally understood. But it wasn't until much later, like in the early 2000s, where you would find men who were primary caregivers who were really saying, you know, I need to leave early today to go to the sports game. And it happened, but certainly less.
It took some time. Let's talk about you, not just as a businesswoman and philanthropist, but, you know, people seem to forget that you are still a woman with the same set of responsibilities as everyone else. Just because your name is Esther Fortunoff, just because you have this legacy and that you're very known, doesn't absolve you from the fact that you are still there for your grandchildren, for your children. I imagine you do cook and clean.
Yes, okay. I do, but my husband also helps cook quite a bit, actually. I'm better at cleaning than the cooking part.
Yeah.
But we're pretty much vegetarians, so luckily it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But today, my husband and I took a great picture of what he really accomplished in our garden. We have all sorts of string beans and different kinds of tomatoes.
My husband has a green thumb as well.
And cucumbers, and today he's making cucumber soup.
Cucumber soup. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do when you have like three really big cucumbers? Got to find a way to use them up. But I'm certainly like a normal person in many ways. And I'm a small business owner. So
right.
since the relaunch of the business, small business owners are really the unsung heroes of our economy because
Agreed.
They drive the economy. And you have to wear so many hats. You really have to, you know, work with your employees, of course. You have to understand, you know, insurance and real estate and marketing. And there's a lot to do when you're a small business. And that, for me, is exciting, but also a challenge. Because
Sure.
in the old business, my former work, I was running the jewelry division with my mother and my sister and a team of 10 women buyers. So there were a lot of people doing the work, but we got to concentrate on sourcing the best diamonds and finding great designs and pearls and rubies, and that was wonderful and fun, and choosing the, you know, great jewelry, but we could really focus on that, and that was my main job. Now I have to do the sourcing, but also all these other things, and so it's cool and interesting, but certainly a challenge.
What do you think is different today than, let's say, 20 years ago for a small business owner to be successful? I mean, you and I have had conversations privately about this, and it's sort of like we're the students in some ways, because we have to learn those marketing strategies via social media and things of that nature. What do you think is different today than, let's say, 20 years ago?
Well, one thing for sure is that not everyone on Long Island is getting their news in one place. So it used to be everyone read Newsday, and you could count on them seeing your ad,
correct?
For example. And now, even if they are reading that paper, they're reading it maybe online, and so the ads don't come up in the same way. Everyone gets their news and even entertainment through so many different channels. It's not like there are just a couple of TV stations everyone watches,
right,
or a couple of radio stations. It's so interestingly fragmented and organized by what people's interests are, that you really have to learn so much more about marketing, like how am I going to hit my target market? How am I going to find the target market and reach them?
I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head with the target thing. It used to be you can cast a wide net and catch lots of different fish. Now it is you must cast a very specific net to get a specific demographic. So, you know, I think that that's a big thing. I often say, as you know, I publish a magazine as well, that every time I would see somebody in terms of maybe sponsoring an ad, I would always tell them that, you know, I would be a liar if I told you that you have to do multiple facets, meaning a good website, because obviously a lot of items are being purchased online now. Or even if I see your ad in somewhere, basically it's going to drive me to a website. So make sure that website is looking real good, because people want to get an inside glimpse of something even before they venture into that store or restaurant or school or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. And it's interesting. So our web business was opened in 2010, and it's just fortuneoffjewelry.com. And I also had to learn new, when we only were on the web, to make that inviting, easy to navigate, clear, but also lots of new items all the time. I mean, the web is something, you know, sort of its own thing. But even people who intend to buy in a store often are learning about a company from the web. So they're going to pre-shop on the web. So
right.
even though they're going to come into the store, and I don't believe brick and mortar is dead.
I don't believe it is either. Especially when it comes to jewelry. I don't know of any man buying an engagement ring over the internet. And if you are, big mistake.
Well, there are definitely people who do that, but they sort of miss the fun of seeing the beautiful diamond in person and being able to choose which one they like better and which one they think is going to be, you know, the perfect one for their loved one. But people do that. People will buy many things that way, and I do believe it's going to grow. And so I keep working on our website and adding new products, like, constantly, because customers, and I think women like variety. They want to see something new, but it has to be mixed with the classics because, as you know, there's really not that much of a substitute for a great strand of pearls.
Nope.
Or, you know, diamond
studding.
Which
you have a lot
rings.
Of great pearls in your
yes.
store.
Yeah, I love pearls.
Black pearls and all sorts of shapes and sizes and these fantastic clasps. The clasp, I think, really makes the strand of pearls, the diamond clasps or whatever it is that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And classic pearls are classic forever.
Right, and there's a lot of classics that I think even young women in business starting out should have a few pieces of
essentials.
Jewelry that, you know, sort of they can go into any meeting wearing that and feeling comfortable.
I think that that should be a little thing on the website. A woman's essentials, a career woman's essentials. We should get, what do you think? I think a strand of pearls. I think a great gold hoop earrings.
Exactly.
Okay.
Gold hoop earrings are essential.
Maybe a good bangle.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
What else am I missing, Esther? We need a ring.
Yeah, except depending on your stage in life, you're
correct.
Not going to buy yourself a certain kind of ring. But
right.
Yeah, rings are good. A nice colored gemstone, I think, is great. I mean, I love sapphires. I love rubies. I like oddball kinds of stones. Opal. There's a lot of...
Yes, I see you coming back with a lot of... It was so yeah. awesome to see the opal in your store because that was big, I would say, 30 years ago, I
yeah,
would say.
Yeah.
But it's really making a comeback. I see that in the
yeah,
design.
From different countries.
Agreed.
And often...
Different colors and
yeah.
what have you. This is Priscilla Arena, and you are listening to A Woman's View on 103.9 Radio. Esther Fortunoff from Fortunoff Fine Jewelry in Westbury and the Fortunoff Empire. Esther, a little bit about the history, and we sort of got up to maybe like the 70s of Fortunoff, but I know that played a real vital role, as did, I believe, some of your siblings in the 70s and 80s and made Fortunoff what it was. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. One of the more fun things that I got to do is in 1979, my family moved their Manhattan store from 57th Street to 5th Avenue and 54th Street. And we already had...
That's some real estate, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. We already had a great campaign branding Fortunoff as the source. But for the opening of Fifth Avenue, we found who we thought was a great spokesperson, Lauren Bacall, because she sort of typified the savvy...
strong.
Savvy and strong from Brooklyn.
Love it.
Glamorous, but still with a little edge.
And a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
so,
like the style of Fortunoff.
Right, so it was perfect. And I got to be the person who kind of... helped her get ready for the photo shoots and walking down Fifth Avenue. And of course, you know, you're wearing winter clothes, but it's the summer.
Right.
And at first, she really wanted to not wear that much jewelry. She was a style icon, but she didn't like to get overdressed. So at one point, they had chosen an earring for her that she didn't like, and she ended up putting on my small hoop earrings. My $35 gold hoop earrings were on her ear when she's walking down Fifth Avenue. But she had great style
yeah.
and was very important in New York in general. I mean, she was sort of a New York person, and so working with her through the 80s was a lot of fun. And we then went on to open stores in New Jersey and in Westchester, and she was only our spokesperson for about 10 years. But it was
only 10 years?
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
10 years is a long time to be a spokesperson.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great time. And she really typified that, you know, brash sort of...
I think that was the time also when, you know, women were sort of stepping into the forefront, going into the workforce, getting educated, starting businesses of their own. And so it just, I guess, all the planets were in perfect alignment. And she really seemed to be the perfect spokeswoman.
Yeah. And what was great is my mother, who really started the jewelry business and built it with a lot of help, of course, to be a very big business, one of the you know, top private owned businesses in the country, was also seen as an icon and was also seen as a leader and someone who did things a different kind of way. She didn't, you know, do the textbook anything. She always struck out on her own. From having a team of women buyers, and we would travel the world together and look for great, you know, great things. And we were just talking last night about being in Hong Kong and getting served a Chinese banquet, except that these foods were so unusual.
Some of them are scary.
Yes.
Very scary.
To most of us, you know, who were like Long Island
Americans,
American ladies, it was quite new and different, and trying to be polite because they really wanted us to eat these foods and these, you know, very exotic, like gourmet things, but no one really wanted.
No one wanted to eat anything. I think a friend of mine, who is, I believe, a buyer for Bed Bath & Beyond, said to me when she has to go overseas, you know, trips to China, the things that they come out with. And the one thing she told me, she says, I will sit on a big dinner table with all these businessmen and they can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And she, you know, has to step away. But, you know, I don't know if it's the same thing in Hong Kong, but...
No, we didn't have that much drinking going on in our little group.
Yeah.
You know, since we were mostly women, it's very different. So
That's true. She was among lots of men.
Yeah.
Right. But what are some of the other places that you've traveled to in your career that you found, you know, obviously are inspiring? I'm going to assume Italy.
Oh, Italy was one of our favorite places. Yes.
Yeah.
We got to go to Italy a lot, which was wonderful.
Where in Italy now did you?
Vicenza, which is the city of gold, and also Milan and Venice. You know, they make jewelry in a lot of different places in Italy. So we got to have some great trips there. I was also in India a lot. And I was in India looking at diamonds at a time that very few women and even very few Americans were going over, because when we were manufacturing jewelry, we needed large quantities of diamonds. And my parents said, you
know, who carried that bag on the plane? I just want to know.
No,
who was responsible
for
the you know, transport of all those diamonds?
They got shipped back.
They
by Brinks or FedEx, but but looking at diamonds in India in those days, it was just really an adventure. Very interesting. It was certainly a male dominated culture, but learning a business from the ground up was really the purpose of going on those trips. Also in Israel, they cut diamonds. Mm-hmm. And so I got to really go to that source and see
how they're actually cut.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just amazing. And I actually, you blew me away before with the archaeology, because that I would have never, I mean, who does that? But you.
Right. It was very intense dig, because we were in, like literally 120 degree heat out in the middle of the desert in tents, and we had to have our water trucked in and the food trucked in, and the Bedouin were people that we hired to cook the meals. But it was a very interesting dig, because it was a 4,000 year old village, didn't have a lot of had never been dug before, there wasn't a lot to find. But it was a caravan route from Egypt into Israel. And so it was an interesting place to see where the grains had come from and where the pottery had come from. But, you know, very slow. So for a girl who had been in Brooklyn when, you know, business was booming, and, you know, Westbury store, where people used to be standing three deep in line at the jewelry counter, it was very hard for me to slow down that much to be just painstakingly digging each layer of dirt.
Teaches you patience.
Yes.
Right?
It
patience is a virtue. If you had any advice to give your younger self, has this one, if you had any advice to give Esther at 21, 25, 27, you know, basically, if you knew then what you know now, what would some of the things you would either change or teach yourself?
Well, one thing for sure is I would have tried to learn more aspects of the business and understand more about finance, and maybe certainly try to understand more about technology when that started to become important. I wish I was more tech savvy, and certainly I think for women especially, no matter what business it is, mm-hmm. or in life, we need to learn those things that are hard for us. You know, maybe we're not loving wanting to do math or science, mm-hmm. or maybe we don't really care about finance, but mm-hmm. it's an important thing for girls and women to master, and in that way you can control your own destiny much more than tasking someone else to know about those things.
Right. Agreed. So basically, educate yourself in terms of financial. And I often say that to, again, younger women, because you don't know what's going to happen down the road. Again, we all get married to be married forever, but there are unforeseen circumstances that may happen. And I feel like women really need to be self-sufficient. And I've always said that a man is a want and not a need. I think it makes for actually a healthier relationship in terms of, you know, marriage or anything else. But, mm-hmm.
But to be more equal and
equal, sure.
You know, each person knows what's going on. And that's, yeah.
And each brings something unique to the table.
Yeah, true. The other thing I would say to my younger self, mm-hmm. and to women getting into business or in not business, but maybe not for profits, is networking and forming relationships and getting to know people and really getting to know them in a way that's not so superficial and where you can figure out how you can help each other.
Agreed. It's about helping each other, and it's not a. And I always find that someone's got to put the olive branch out first in terms of help, mm-hmm. but then it should be a yin and a yang. I mean that's what we do.
Right.
There you go.
But you know, networking is sort of taking over the world.
Yes, I agree. Esther, it was fabulous to have you. I'm so happy that you're here with me, and I hope that you enjoyed being on the show, and we'd love to have you back at any given time. Again, please, Esther, tell them where they can find you.
FortunoffJewelry.com, mm-hmm. and at the Fortunoff Fine Jewelry Boutique on Old Country Road, next door to P.F. Chang's and the Cheesecake Factory.
Or as I like to refer to it, the Fortunoff Square Mall, the source mall that I always say that it is. Thank you.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure. Really a pleasure. Thank you.